This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Any of you who have ever heard my lectures before know a few things. Number one, I always begin with this dua. And this happens to be the dua of Musa alayhi salam. The reason why I love this dua so much is because Musa alayhi salam was given a very, very heavy task. Musa alayhi salam was given the task of approaching the greatest tyrant to walk the earth, and that was Pharaoh. Pharaoh, to give you some context, as you know, was a man who killed babies as a policy. Pharaoh was a man who stood up and said, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la," I am your Lord Most High. He was the most tyrannical tyrant. And what Musa alayhi salam had to do was he had to approach this tyrant. Now, when he was given that task, he made this beautiful dua. Rabbi shrah li sadri, O Allah, expand my chest. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, and make my matters easy for me. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli, take the knot out of my tongue that they may understand my speech. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do exactly that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make whatever comes out of my mouth be truthful and be effective and be beneficial for myself and you, because the first pair of ears are my own. Now, the story of Musa alayhi salam is one of the most personal stories to my life. And so when I was given this topic, I was just kind of like, how am I going to talk about something so personal? Although I talk about bits and pieces of Musa alayhi salam's life many times, but while I was going through and I was reading the verses about Musa alayhi salam, it was very, very hard to read them without crying. And the reason for this is because everyone has gone through stuff in life. And I think that for me personally, one of the stories or one of the examples in the Quran that has resonated with my own life the most, it was the story of Musa alayhi salam. And throughout different parts of my life, there were different parts of his story that resonated with me. And so I'm going to do my best to try to share that without getting super emotional. But I'm going to begin at the start of his life. Now, we oftentimes talk about Musa alayhi salam, but we miss, and maybe we don't focus as much on someone who is related to Musa alayhi salam, who I personally gained a lot of inspiration from, and that is the mother of Musa alayhi salam. Now, what happened to this woman is that she lived in a time when children, when little boys were being killed, and she has a little boy. Now, I want to take a moment and reflect on this for a second. When you're afraid of losing something that you love, what is your knee-jerk reaction? What is our reflexive, you know, immediate, instinctive reaction when we're afraid of losing something that we love? Our instinctive reaction is to hold it tighter, is to attach to it and to cling to it harder and more intensely, because we're afraid of losing it. Now, Musa alayhi salam's mother is actually being told to do the exact opposite. She is actually being told to let him go. She's actually being told that if you want to keep him, you have to let him go. That if you actually want this to be protected, you have to put your trust in Allah and you have to let him go. And so what she's being told to do is to put her child in the river. Can you just think for a moment the amount of tawakkul, the amount of trust that she has to have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to let him go and put him in the river? And yet, this is exactly the lesson of that. Had she held on to Musa alayhi salam, he would have been killed. There is an irony here, because she is actually, by letting him go and putting her trust in Allah, she's protecting him. So she is being told to let him go and put him in the river. But she's being given a promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a promise to this woman. And he says to her, "Inna raduhu ilayk," we will return him to you. So the promise of Allah is, trust me, I'll bring him back to you. But just trust me right now. and I'll take care of him during this period of time, but just trust me and I'll bring him back to you. Now, there's something else that really strikes me about this part of the story. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, that when he did return Musa to his mother, and by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned Musa to his mother in a very miraculous way. And it also shows, there's so many lessons, subhanAllah. It shows that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds as part of his plan. So how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withhold in order to return? He made Musa alayhi salam reject all other women to take milk from. That he rejected all the other women so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned Musa alayhi salam to his mother. Now, when Allah explains this return, and you know, subhanAllah, I was at a retreat, and at the beginning of the retreat, before the retreat had started, the Shaykh said, you know, we had like a period of time where we would just read just a portion of Quran. And so what I did was I just opened up to one of my favorite surahs, which is Surah Taha. So I opened up and I read Surah Taha and I reflected on basically probably the first 15 ayahs or so of Surah Taha. And I got to this one verse and it just struck me in a way that I never realized before. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تُقَرُّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ. That we returned Musa to his mother. Now it's the reason why that he states that blew me away. He said that we returned Musa to his mother so that her eyes would be cool and she wouldn't be sad. Why did that strike me so much? Because we go through periods in our lives of extreme sadness. And sometimes we think that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to people. It doesn't matter even to sometimes we may feel that it doesn't matter to Allah. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making history happen because of one woman's sadness. Just because of one woman's sadness, he is doing something that will be literally it will make history throughout till the end of time. And that's because he didn't want one woman, she wasn't a prophet, just a woman, right? He didn't want one woman to be sad. And he wanted one woman to have that peace. So he said, we returned him to his mother so that she would have the coolness of her eyes and she would not be sad. And there's another reason, a third reason that Allah says, وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. And so that she would know that the promise of Allah is true. Why are we being told this story? Because every single one of us are going to be tested. And we're all tested in different ways. And there's going to be times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make us be, we're going to have to choose. We're going to have to make decisions between what we love and what Allah loves. Between our plan and Allah's plan, right? And so what we learn from this story is that when we choose Allah, Allah will bring back to us and replace and even bring us something better than what it was that we gave up for his sake. Because she's letting go of something for Allah's sake, right? And she's putting her trust in Allah. And then what does Allah do? He returns Musa to his mother. And not only does he do that, he protects Musa. And had she not done that, then she would have lost Musa alayhi salam. She would have actually lost him had she not let him go. And so what she had to do was let him go so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him and then brought him back to her. Now what's very interesting is this. Allah says, and this is also a lesson for us folks, focus on this. Allah, and I just finished saying that Pharaoh was the greatest tyrant, right? Pharaoh is the one who's killing the babies. Pharaoh is the murderer here. And where does Musa alayhi salam go? He goes to the actual home, the house of the enemy. Now, why do I want us to reflect on that? Because it shows the power of Allah. It shows that Allah is the protector. It means that even if you are in the mouth of the lion, literally, even if you are overtaken by the enemy, if Allah protects you, no harm will come to you. That's the other part of this story, because Allah is telling us that he was an enemy. He was an enemy. Adu. He was an enemy to Musa alayhi salam. He was an enemy of Allah. And it was in his home that Allah put Musa alayhi salam, showing us that Allah is the protector. Even if you're in the middle of the storm, even if you're in the home of the enemy, Even if the enemy is living right there next to you, Allah can protect you still. And Allah protected Musa alayhi salam and then brought him back to his mother. Now, one of the reasons why this story, there's many reasons, but there's a lot of reasons why this story was very personal to me. And one of the reasons why that there came a point when I had to make some very difficult decisions. And in those decisions, I had to be separated from people that I loved. And I had to let go. But when I did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I had full trust, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect, Allah would take care of, and Allah would return. And Allah keeps His promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps His promise. And every single one of you, I know that in one way or another, there are going to be times when you are going to have to make difficult decisions. But if you put your trust in Allah, this is what Allah is teaching us. When you put your trust in Allah, just like He returned Musa alayhi salam to his mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps His promise. وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ. So that she would know that the promise of Allah is true, and that everyone till the end of time would know that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Now Musa alayhi salam, he grows up. And now I'm going to fast forward a bit. And now Musa alayhi salam is going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is like the introduction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this section in Surah Taha talks about it. Allah introduces himself to Musa alayhi salam. And when he introduces himself, he says, Inni ana Allah, la ilaha illa ana. فَعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Now there's something very important. Now before that, of course, he tells him that he's the Rabb, introduces himself as the Rabb, and then asks him to take off his shoes. And now he introduces himself as the Ilah. And he says that I am the only thing worthy of worship, the only Ilah, okay? So, therefore, worship me. And how does he tell him to worship him? He says immediately. Now this is another reflection for all of us. In the very introduction that Allah, this is the Lord of the world, right? He's introducing himself to Musa alayhi salam, and one of the very first things that he's saying is to establish salah. So this shows us the importance of salah. That he says, establish the salah for my remembrance. And then he goes on and he talks to Musa alayhi salam, he tells him the mission that he has. Now there's another reflection here that I want to make, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he made, اصطنعتُكَ لِنَفْسِي, okay? That he fashioned Musa for himself. That Musa alayhi salam was being fashioned. That Musa alayhi salam was being raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Developed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a mission. Fair enough? And yet, and this is where I want, sometimes there's like this myth that we have. That when we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when we start to take the path of spirituality, we don't need other people. There's this myth. And why I want to point this out is because Musa alayhi salam, Allah is saying, I created you for myself. And yet, Musa alayhi salam, right after this conversation, what is one of the first things he asks? He asks for the help and the support of his brother. He asks for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his brother with him to support him. And so this shows from the very beginning that our path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean that we don't need people, and it doesn't mean that we don't have very, very important human relationships. That those human relationships have a purpose, and that purpose is that it helps us in our path. There's another time when Musa alayhi salam says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. He says, oh my Lord, I am indeed poor to whatever goodness you send down to me. And what does Musa alayhi salam get after that dua? He gets a job and a wife. Right? So Allah here is showing us, see, the proper balance of our deen. The proper balance of our deen is that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have a special place in our heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that does not negate our human relationships, and it does not negate the importance of our human relationships. And in fact, the human relationships that are based in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that are based in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the strongest and are so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're told on the day of judgment when there's no other shade, one of the people who are shaded are those who loved each other for the sake of Allah. They came together for the sake of Allah and they separated for the sake of Allah. And we're also told that one of the highest places in Jannah are for those people who loved each other for the sake of Allah. And that place is so amazing that the martyrs and that prophets are looking at it. So this is a lesson for us, that our path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a lone path. Our path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also Allah sends us people that help us, and Allah sends us gifts. And this is part of our gratitude to Allah, to be grateful for that. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Oh Allah, gift us. And by the way, a gift is by definition undeserved, right? It's not like people are given this because they're better than others. This is a gift of Allah. What is that gift that we're asking for? Gift us with making our spouses and our children the coolness of our eyes. This is not a contradiction to that aspect, istanatuka li nafsi, that I've made you for myself. Make sense? So here we have Musa alayhi salam speaking with Allah. He's asking Allah for that support of his brother. Then he is going to go and face Pharaoh. Now, at the end of the conversation, Allah again repeats the importance of dhikr. So we said we started with Allah saying, I am your Rabb, I am your Ilah, so worship me. Aqim as-salah. By the way, the word aqim as-salah, it doesn't mean just pray. Because aqim comes from to stand. So it's actually, Allah is saying, establish salah. Because you see, here's the thing about salah, right? It's easy to pray once or twice. It's easy to pray when everyone else is praying and you're at an event. Except at weddings for some reason. I don't know why half the people don't get up and pray. But anyways, it's easy to pray when everyone else is praying. It's easy to pray when you're not at an airport or something, you know? It's easy. But what's difficult to pray is when it's inconvenient. When you're at your job and when people are going to look at you. Or when you're outside or when you're on the road. When you're really, really tired, when you're sleeping, right? Then it's harder. And that's why Allah is not just telling us to pray. He does not just say pray, sallu. He says aqim as-salah. And aqim as-salah means to establish salah. That means that you pray when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. You pray when you're tired and when you're not tired. You pray when you're happy and when you're sad. There's no such thing as, you know, if you look at your salah as your oxygen, no one in the world says, I'm having a bad day today, so I think I'll breathe tomorrow. Nobody says, I'm busy at my job, so I'll breathe tonight. I'll take an oxygen later on. Or I'll leave that till next week when I'm done with finals or something. You know what I'm saying? It makes no sense. And the reason why is that you need oxygen to stay alive. Simple as that. Whether you're happy or you're sad, you have to keep breathing. Similarly with salah. Salah is one of those things that just keeps us alive. And so here the importance Allah is telling us to establish salah, to establish dhikr. Do not slacken in my dhikr, Allah tells Musa alayhi salam when he's at the end of the conversation. Do not slacken in my dhikr. Now before I move on to one of my favorite parts of the story, I want to say something else that happens in this conversation. And that is that Musa alayhi salam had this thing called a staff. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him during this conversation, مَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your right hand, O Musa? And Musa alayhi salam says, هي عصاي أتوكأ عليها. It's my staff, I lean on it. Now what was very interesting is at this retreat, remember I told you the retreat where I opened up and I read from AF 1 to 15 of Surah Taha, right? Well, once the retreat started, and I had no idea this was going to happen, no one knew what he was going to talk about, he goes up there and he begins tafsir. And it just so happens that he was going to do tafsir of ayahs 1 to 15 of Surah Taha for the entire retreat. No joke. I was like, whoa, is something in these ayahs I really need to learn at this point in my life? And one of those things, and I think that if there was any lesson I learned from that retreat, it was this, that when Musa alayhi salam is being asked, what is that in your right hand? He said, it is my staff, I lean on it, and Allah tells him to throw it. Alqiha ya Musa, alqiha ya Musa, throw it. Now one of the things that the Sheikh said was that the leaning on the staff, and there of course are different interpretations, but one of the interpretations that he explained is that the leaning on the staff was like the leaning on the creation. The leaning on and the dependency on the means. And he's being told to let that go. And why is this important? I just finished telling you that we have, and sometimes we need people in our lives. And now I'm telling you that he shouldn't be leaning on it. And there's no contradiction here. Because what he's being taught is that you do not depend on those things. So he's told to throw it. And again, this is another form of letting go, isn't it? Just like Musa's mother had to let go, he's asked to throw it. But, something really amazing happens when he throws it. Allah makes it turn into a snake in front of his eyes. And then he says, take it back. Don't be afraid. And I will return it to its original form. Now, what the Sheikh explains here, very profound, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in charge of the creation. And the same creation that can be your supporter can also turn into a snake and vice versa. And it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is the one who controls the states. And Allah is the one who controls the heart. And so you have to realize that while we love the creation, that our ultimate dependence is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he takes it back though, when he takes it back, it turns back into the staff. So now what the Sheikh explained is that when he took it back, it was in his hand. It wasn't something he was dependent on. And one of the things that this is a metaphoric example, but what it taught Musa alayhi salam is the ability to put his focus, the focus of his heart on Allah, not on the creation. So he loves the creation. He wanted a wife, he wanted a job, he wanted the support of his brother, but his ultimate dependence is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his focus, he learned the ability to see through. And this is going to become very important later on. He's learning and he's being trained in the ability to see through the illusions of the means. Make sense? I'm going to explain where this then becomes useful later on. So fast forward. Musa alayhi salam is standing in front of the Red Sea. So all of this training that Musa alayhi salam has gone through, since he was a child, Allah has always been taking care of him. Allah has always been watching over him since he was a baby. And now we're fast forwarding to this scene where now he and his people, Bani Israel, are standing in front of the Red Sea. And Allah tells us this story. He says, فَلَمَّا تَرَى الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ I want to take a moment and talk about these two paradigms. Musa alayhi salam is with a group of people, Bani Israel. Now, Bani Israel are standing there with Musa alayhi salam. The Red Sea is in front of them. And behind them is a superpower army. Pharaoh and his army are behind them. What do you think, if you were in that situation, what's your reaction going to be? Pretty much most of us, our reaction would be just like their reaction. And their reaction was, we are definitely going to be overtaken. Inna lamudrakun. That's it for us. Have you guys ever been in a situation that looked hopeless before? Have you ever been in a situation that you couldn't see a way out? Have you ever felt trapped? See, Musa alayhi salam was put in this situation. Many of us, you know, I mean, obviously, none of us are probably going to ever be stuck in front of a giant body of water with a giant superpower army behind us, right? But then why is Allah telling us this story if it's not relevant? We won't be necessarily in front of the Red Sea, but we will be in situations where we feel trapped. We will be in situations that look hopeless. We will be put in situations that we don't see a solution. And we think, okay, what am I going to do? And when we are put in that situation, Allah is teaching us how to see through. So Bani Israel is seeing the Red Sea and is seeing the army, and that is where their focus is. You know, when you're in a situation and if you focus on the problem itself, that's all you're going to see. If you focus on the barrier itself, if you focus on the obstacle itself, that's all you're going to see. And it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger in your eyes. It actually starts to grow. You know, it's this amazing thing about the psychology of a human being. If you focus, I want you to imagine for a second there's a wall in front of you. The more you focus on that wall, the more it gets bigger. The more you focus on the wall, the higher it gets, the bigger it gets, until it actually surrounds you. And you will see no way out. And the reason why, by the way, that's an illusion. It's an illusion. The reason that it looks that way is because you're focusing on the barrier. You're focusing on the block. You're not focusing on Allah. You're focusing on the barrier itself. And so the barrier looks bigger and bigger. And that's exactly what Bani Israel did. They were focusing on the Red Sea. They were focusing on the army. And so they were hopeless. They felt very afraid. They were scared. And it had to do with the focus of the heart. Are you focused on the block? Are you focused on the barrier? Or are you focused on something else? Now, what's so powerful is you see the comparison, the contrast of Musa alayhi salam's focus. And then his response. قَالَ كَلَّا. He said, nope. كَلَّا is like a very emphatic no way. No, nope. They said, we will surely be overtaken. He said, no. And why is it that Musa alayhi salam said no? Why was he so certain? Why was he so sure? Was it because he's really strong? Is it because, you know, oh, guys, don't worry, I got this. You know, he didn't say that. He didn't say, I have this nifty staff, you know. He wasn't in the habit of splitting seas. You know, this didn't really happen every day. It's not like he knew what was going to get him out of the situation. He had no idea. It's not like he knew how he was going to get out. And yet he was certain that Allah would get him out. Why? Because Musa alayhi salam wasn't focused on the barrier. Musa alayhi salam wasn't focused on the obstacle and the block. He was focused on Allah. And he knew, إِنَّ مَعْيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. He said, by no means will we be overtaken. Why? Because indeed my Lord is with me. And he will get me through this. That's all he needed. All he needed to do was see Allah in this situation. All he needed to do was shift the focus of his heart. Shift the focus from the block, from the barrier, from the obstacle, from the problem to Allah. And all of a sudden, literally Allah opened the sea for him. And that is because he had the proper focus. And he knew, and he put his trust in Allah. And he said that my Lord is with me. And he will guide me through. And that's exactly what Allah did. You know, it's very easy to put our reliance on Allah when we see the way out. When we know already the solution. You know, it's easy to be like, yeah, I put my trust in Allah, but here's the plan. You know, it's like, this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. And we already have the whole thing planned out. We know exactly what's going to happen. And then we say our trust in Allah, right? That's pretty easy. But what's really hard is when we have no idea what's going to happen. What's really hard is when there's complete uncertainty. What's really hard is when we have no idea how Allah is going to get us out. We have no idea how the solution is going to come. We have actually no idea what's going to happen after we take this step. It's an unknown. It's the unseen. But that's what tawakkul is. That's exactly what tawakkul means. It means that I don't see the solution. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do know one thing for sure. And that is, inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Indeed, my Lord is with me and he will guide me through. And when we have that kind of attitude, Allah promises something. That he will split seas for us. That situations that look impossible, Allah will make a way out. That situations where we don't see a solution, Allah will give us a solution from places we never imagined. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever puts Allah first, taqwa, whoever has God consciousness, whoever focuses on Allah first, whoever guards themselves from the wrath of Allah, who makes Allah first, Allah will make a way out for them. And he will provide for them from places they never imagined. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ بِحَمْدَكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرَكُ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.